Welcome everybody to the DeFalco Files. Here in Las Vegas with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, we got No Escape coming up this Sunday. What's going on with the big Silverton show? And did we at least get the cage?
Actually, we pick up the cage tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. And then Rocky will bring it to the arena to compact it because it's 12 individual pieces with the clamps and all the other stuff. So we have to, you know, combine it down to 4 pieces so it's around the ring. Makes it a lot easier. That way we can get it in and out. And, you know, Rocky's record, I think, is about 10 minutes. So, you know, we're looking forward to that. We should have the supposed to have the new door compared to last year's new door that made it almost impossible for Duke Lawrence to get through it because the first 3 feet were from the floor to the apron. So So that supposedly is fixed. So there should be plenty of room. It starts at 3 feet high. So, yeah, you know, we got that. I'm actually, after I'm done with you here, I'm heading over to Habitat for Humanity to get some doors for the DLC match and maybe get a couple extra just in case.
Well, let's kind of look at some of these matches you just said. DLC match. So obviously, it's not going to be in a cage, but it is going to have doors, ladders, and chairs. It's a culmination of pretty much a year angle with Damian Drake.
A year plus, as we said, because last year everybody thought it was the blow off in the I Quit match,
right?
So that had about a 3 month buildup. Then, you know, they kind of went their separate ways, did their own thing. Damian Drake won the No Limits Championship. That was kind of the springboard for the success that Damian Drake had over this past year, because in all honesty, he was really struggling for the last, you know, year and a half. When the Unguided imploded, he was kind of a lost soul. And, you know, he got opportunity after opportunity, but he never seemed to cash in on those opportunities. You know, he had the chance to win the Nevada State Championship against Gregory Sharp. That, you know, he lost that. Right. And, you know, going down the road, you know, it's great to see the success of Fox Valentine and being a tag team champion. But even early on, he lost to Fox in a shocking upset. So Damian Drake, you know, whatever and however way he won the I Quit match, you know, he finally decided that he wasn't going to care what the fans thought, which, you know, deep down he probably still does. But he was the guy that, you know, was focused on making them happy.
Is it true that if this was like a television arc, he got hit in the head and went back to the 80s, and then something in that match hit him in the head again and brought out the new persona? Is that do we just kind of look at that time frame as lost time because of amnesia?
Yeah, I guess he became, you know, hungry like the wolf.
And, you know, Dante's rise has been just constant. Obviously, the work that he's put in has paid off, and you know, it seems like this is kind of a crossroads for Dante, because not only is it revenge, but you know, Dante hasn't had his hands on a championship yet either.
No, and you know, looking at the end of that feud, Dante was on the rise, and then losing that match, you don't know where somebody is going to go.
Right.
You know, you get this huge opportunity, everything you built for, and you lose that match, you can kind of crash and burn. You know, you see that a lot when people lose their championships or get to that pinnacle And it's also a way of seeing how somebody's going to react. You know, WWE has made a living off giving the LA Knights, giving these people this big push, the Miz back in the day, where it looked like they were going to become stars. And then all of a sudden, boom, now how do you react? And LA Knight bounced back. He won the U.S. title. The Miz, he lost to Cena at WrestleMania after the big build. And then he had to build himself back up. And then he became a champion who won at WrestleMania. And that's also a way to humble, I guess you can say. Because, you know, when you're on the rise, you're like the billboard charts. You know, you're rising up the charts with a bullet. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get cut off. What happens next? How do you react? What's your attitude like? But a guy like Dante King, you know, made it where he was going to be at the school almost every day. And he was a guy, he wasn't a gym guy. Now he's a gym guy. Yeah. And everybody, because they get some opportunities, hey, TNA's in town. Maybe they use you for something. Maybe Moose, maybe somebody gives you a little bit of advice. Because you don't get that advice when you're wrestling for smaller companies and you're in New Mexico where there's not a lot of action and you're training with Gino Rivera in his backyard. You know, it's a lot different. You know, you can get some skills and you can become pretty good. But the ceiling maybe is a little harder to reach because Dante King can now train with Matt Vandergriff, and he can train with Gregory Sharp, and he can train with Remy and Cody, and you can name a who's who. I don't care where you go, you're not going to get that opportunity anywhere else. Hey, Jay Vidal's back. We're going to train with Jay Vidal. Hey, WWE superstar Zoe Stark. She's going to be at the gym today, early, hanging out with her friend Matt Vandergriff, who is friends, and Dante King may come in and train with them, and now getting opportunities, and she's going to be like, yeah, you know, in the Fed, blah, 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 and this, and being, you don't have to be a muscle person, you know what I mean? But yeah, they want you to be lean. They want you to be in really good shape. They want you to be able to do the basics. They want you to be able to have a persona. They want you to be able to act, you know, change the pace. Hey, we're going to give you 6, but now we can only give you 2.5. Get it done.
Right.
And that's what we offer. And Dante took full advantage of it. You know, we made a trade-off on dues compared to, you know, payments to where, you know, him and Gypsy, I'll get there most of the days during the week, and there's a good chance they're going to be there before me. And you could see a handful of people that continue to do it. You know, AJ and Fox, you know, they're another two guys that, you know, I'll walk in early and there they are. Right. So, you know, they come in, they're a little different because they also train during the regular classes, you know, being that it's more beginner based, I guess you could say, most of the classes, even though there's stuff with the advanced people and practice matches. You don't really see, you know, the Vandergriffs, the Jay Vidals, Dante, even Damian Drakes of the world. They'll come in on their own time.
Right.
But while the AJs and the Fox, they'll also come in because they're very, very young. So they'll still come in, you know, for Sin Bodhi's class or Kenny King's class. Oh, TJP's running the class. Hey, Bateman's here. So you can't go wrong any day of the week.
Yeah.
When you get in there, you know, and if you don't believe it, go watch video of Gypsy Mac and Dante King when they first came to FSW and they were involved in matches, and the way they look compared to a year and a half later. You know, it's night and day. Yeah. You know, yeah. And Gypsy's another one. She's got the opportunity of a lifetime. You know, she was kind of languishing. And then she started getting a little bit of response. Hey, she got involved with stuff with Dante, and it started with Damian Drake. trying to take her out. And then when Dante was doing stuff with Danny Limelight, you know, Raw Reese took her out at the Silverton. You know, she got her comeuppance at the Roulette Rumble and eliminated Reese. And the crowd response got bigger because at the time, Brittany Brooks was the baby face of the women's division.
Right.
She got hurt, but the crowd started to respond to Maserati. And she became the baby face of the women's division. And she got hurt.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really interesting to see as Maz is on the mend, Brittany's ready to return, but Gypsy Max, the one front and center, getting the opportunity of being in the steel cage. A match that 6 months ago, I'm pretty sure nobody would have thought either one of them, the champ Alice Blair or Gypsy Mac, would even be on the card at No Escape.
Sure.
But that's what hard work does. Opportunities arise and you need to take advantage of those situations.
Right. And Alice Blair is a great example of someone who it's been, a long journey to get to this point as well. So she's not only going in the cage to retain the title, but I think she's still in some regards looking for respect.
Oh, 1,000%. You know, we've had our ups and downs. You know, I didn't think she put in, the time that was always necessary to get to that level. You know, everybody talks about what they want to do and what they want to be. And, I feel I try to put in as much work as humanly possible. And sometimes I feel others want to be treated as if they do when they don't.
Sure. Yeah.
So, that becomes the conflict because, at the end of the day, it's Joe Rules.
Sure.
So sure. If I don't like what you're doing, just because other people do, that's great that Remy says this about somebody and Cody says this and Kenny says this and Sin says this. But there's also times where it's like, that's cool. But when we have a show, they're not around because they're not on it. When there's time to help, they seem to not be able to make that particular event. So it's like you try to give opportunities, but they also have to earn it on my end. That's great that you're working hard training, but so are a lot of other people who are also helping. So unless you far outshine somebody, if you're not there to be a part of FSW, like the issues I had, hey, with Raw Reese, hey, why weren't you at the TNA, ring set up? Oh, I was at the other show in town helping set up the ring there. Oh, were you on the show? Oh, no, I was trying to get on the show. You're not on my show, but you're trying to get on that show. Maybe you should help fucking us first, bro. And, and it took a while. A guy like Reese saw. It's like, hey, bro, you're coming to the show and then you're sitting in the back. You're not a main roster guy. You're a student who's supposed to help. And if you can't help, go fucking home. And don't expect to be used. Because, Reese always had the Lawsons behind him and other people who like him. And he's got personality. It's like, but get with the program. It's not that difficult. And as you saw, he started getting with the program. And look where he is now. He's in the main motherfucking event.
Yeah.
Right there. Raw Reese. A guy that I was content with. You don't like it? Get the fuck out of here. I don't need you. You talk a big game, but I don't see a lot of action. And, again, over the last year, It's been a total. Is it the 180? Because when the 360 put him in the same spot, so it's a 180.
Yeah, it's a 180.
He did the 180, and you know, Limelight needed some people. And guess what? Reese was the guy. So yeah. That's what hard work did. You know, so looking at the show, and that's what happens. A Bryce Saturn is going to open the show in a scramble with, you know, three FSW have to be's. Okay. Sharp, Remy, and Bodie. They have to be on a casino show card.
Right.
Now it's okay. How do we fill it in? Well, hey, JKM, a disciple of Dante King. There's another one. A few run-ins. Hey, bro, I'll see you later. What do you mean? Where are you going? Oh, well, Dante's my ride. Yeah, well, I don't give a fuck. You're a student. Dante's not a student. So you either better find a way to get a ride or don't worry about being on the show. Because that's not your excuse.
Yeah.
Take a $9 Uber if you have to. Because you're not better than Raw Reese and Adrian Rain and all these other younger guys that even if they have a match, it's their job after the show to stick around. Because we're already at match 7 and the show was 8 matches long. It's right. Like you do know you're pretty much at the school show bringing in the chairs and right. Taking down the canvas. You know, it's probably 20 minutes work.
Right.
So sure. Figure it out. It's on you. I'm not telling you, you have to stay. You don't have to do anything, but remember that. And that was the tipping point. So guess what? He stayed because there would be a different face on that flyer if he chose to go.
Well, Joe, but you also have to understand, I think he realized or didn't realize that if he takes the mask off, therefore he's not the same person and he can go. If he kept the mask on, he'd have to, you know, do this work, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, you could read it any way you want, but it has to be the way it has to be. And then the final participant, Bryce Saturn, he's killed it in the singles matches he's gotten. They killed it in the tag match that they had with Damian Desire. I only needed one spot, and Bryce Saturn got it. But I'll be honest with you. I'm really looking forward to seeing more of the Bryce Saturn-Damian Desire tag team.
Yeah.
You know, Bryce Saturn is another one. He came to us, good wrestler, worked everywhere in town. I said, hey, nothing against you, but this is what we're looking for. To do. I don't really need another guy. And in that time frame, it's like, well, I'm going to finish up over there and I'm going to commit to you, whether you book me or not. Well, how do you not respect that? And while he did that, his good wrestling, committing to me, who then presented, go see a picture of him from last year,
right,
compared to now. Right. And this guy looks like the real deal. He's a superstar in the making.
Yeah, agreed.
Who, you know, so he's another out-of-town guy who sees how important it is if he can make a name for himself in future stars of wrestling.
Right.
Which most of the local guys, a lot of them have no concept. You know, and it's like WWE ain't letting everybody work whatever independent wrestling show they want.
Right.
But we got Cross. Right. We got Gabe Sapolsky. We got two WWE ID guys. And it's like, you know, show some appreciation for the company. If I have to let you know that we have a show the same day as another show, and you didn't ask me about my show that you supposedly want to be on, then don't worry about the other shows. Just pay me to train and go do your thing. Yeah. We got some people like that. They come by and they train once or, you know, 3 to 5 times a month, and they pay a gym fee, but they don't really wrestle for me. Right. I'm okay with it. You can train anywhere you want. You're an idiot. If you live in this town and you work for another company because you don't like me, well, that's great. You don't have to train with me when TJP's here. You get to pay $20 to train with TJP.
Yeah.
If you don't want to take advantage of it, I don't think you're serious enough about wanting to make it. I think a lot of people just want to be a star where they're at.
Yeah.
With lesser competition, because it is competition. You know, everybody's friends and everybody wants to get on the wrestling shows. But again, you knew Hammerstone wanted to be a professional wrestler. You know, and we knew Cross and Zoe. They all wanted to be professional wrestlers. Not, hey, I got my job this week and I get to wrestle Friday and Saturday.
Right.
You know, I want to make my living wrestling. Well, everybody wants to go on an independent show and think they're going to make a living that way. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
You're not at that level. You're lucky you're getting a mediocre payday at best.
Right.
You know, Hammerstone was not going to make a living wrestling by wrestling at Dom's show and my show and that was it.
Right.
You know, he got the MLW gig. You know, for people who don't know, MLW pays well for a guy like him, Jacob Fatu. That's why they had him there. So even though they might be a lower end top company, it's still a top company that pays contracts and things like that. So you kind of start at a certain level, and then maybe a TNA where they're doing a per show deal. And then if you get to be good enough or important enough or valuable enough to them, they give you that signed contract where you're getting paid X amount of dollars, but you're not going to make it working independent shows and driving around everywhere.
Right.
So it's foolish for anybody who kind of thinks that, you know, more power to an indie guy who's never been anywhere making a few hundred dollars on a show. And that's, you know, not including selling t-shirts, you know, you could make a couple hundred bucks if you sold five t-shirts.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and that's what's necessary, but you got to put in the work. It's no different than the band that is playing at the saloon and the bar and they're trying to get their buddies to come in because they're getting $5 a ticket from the door and 45 people showed up. That's all they get is the 45 people. Hey, we got 45 people, which is a lot. That's $225. Well, it ain't one person. You know, split it for four or five people in the band. You made $40.
Yeah.
But you're hoping to be like the Killers where you played at local places in Vegas and then you hit it big. And now you can go to, the place on the strip by Park MGM, the Dolby Arena, or wherever I saw them, Resorts World. And they're probably making, you know, $50,000 a show.
Yeah.
And that's the way of the world. MMA. Go talk to MMA people. That's why Dave Mazzani and Gina Mazzani, we loved having on our show because they were used to making money by selling tickets.
Right. Yep.
And anytime we put Dave Mazzani on the show, he is usually the biggest seller, but lately it's become a little bit less because, you know, some of the other guys have really stepped up.
Sure. Yeah.
But that's how Dave got paid. He got an envelope with pretty much nothing in it, gas money, to be in a battle royal. And then all of a sudden, he got his cut of the tickets that he sold, and he made more money than the guy in the main event.
Yeah.
That's how you make your money. Make yourself valuable. So, you know, and again, not every way is selling tickets, but making yourself valuable. Bryce Saturn made himself valuable. You know, JKM made himself valuable. Still got to yell at him sometimes. Young kid. You know, well, hey, 8 minute scramble, and you guys went five. What the fuck are you doing?
And when you say, you know, making yourself valuable, in the cage match, former tag team champions, Sky High, have been doing that as of late, not only pursuing the FSW tag team championships, but we got to look at them for a brief, I'd say about minute and a half on Collision the other night.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. You know, your boys, Lance and Cage.
Oh, were they the ones who killed them? I didn't see. I knew they were on it.
Yeah, it was the murder machines literally beating the living fuck out of Sky High.
Hey.
And
well, you know, if they look good taking the beating, that's all that was their job.
Oh, exactly. That's the value, right? The value was absolutely in what they did. No introduction or nothing. I think they were referred to as that other tag team because they literally took them. You just saw them come out from the back, getting the shit knocked out of them, beat the fuck out of them in the ring. And then, you know, they powdered out and were gone while.
Well, when I see Brian or talk to Lance, I'm going to tell him, hey, do me a favor next time. Give him a little something, something. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, but that's.
Well, maybe we'll have a rematch at the Benefit for Bay. If Sky High wins the titles, they could defend
against the murder
and defeat the murder machines. You know, Cage will be there. I could hit up Lance.
Just to see them actually wrestle a match would be quite entertaining.
That's right. Sky High comes out with the chairs, and we have Lance and Cage on their knees backing off. Calm down, brothers.
Like the ultimate, see, and that's how you legitimize Sky High, right? You make them the ultimate badasses.
Rey Mysterio beat Kevin Nash.
Oh, man. But that's it. When you talk value and, you know, knowing what your job is and being able to get an opportunity from, you know, a national company to go on TV, do the business, do what you need to do, and make those guys look good. That's what they did. And I think that, you know, again, there's that fine balance where you have to have confidence, but you can't let your ego override it. And, you know, you can pick up on the guys who are just so ego driven that it gets in the way of them being more successful. And I think that, you know, that's one of the things we're seeing is, you know, a lot of guys going out there and getting these opportunities and shining in these opportunities because they're doing what they're asked to do and looking good doing it. And I think that's wonderful. And I think this cage match between the two tag teams is going to be a phenomenal opportunity for the story to be told in terms of, you know, the young kids who have gotten, you know, things have come to them quickly, and Sky High, who took their time in that journey. And
I don't know if it's took their time. I think it's more that it took them longer.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Nobody's like, hey, I don't want to win the tag belts for 6 or 7 years in my career. You know,
have you talked to Robbie? Robbie would probably be the one guy who'd be like, no, I'm good. It's cool. When it comes, it comes.
Yeah, you know, and no doubt, but they weren't in a position year one, two, three, or four. You know, they were gaining popularity, but they were nowhere near ready. You know, right. Makeshift came out and had some they broke out of a pack is what they did. You know, yep. There were teams there, you know, whether it was the Killer D's, whether it was the Mariachis, they all kind of got put together around the same time and they were all pretty even at one point. And then, you know, they got the opportunity, you know, to wrestle some really good tag teams and have really good matches. And that's what stands out, you know. Plus, you know, AJ already had people know who he was because of his affiliation with Jay Vidal. So that was kind of his indoctrination into, you know, the business. You know, he was laid out at a Silver Nugget casino show. So he's probably the first one who got that opportunity. And then they ended up having a singles match when Jay Vidal was going back down to Florida after the TNA signing. And AJ really, you know, stuck out.
Yeah.
And at that point, again, he was another young guy. And in those single situations, opportunities were hard to come by. And him and Fox built up a friendship and they were doing, you know, some tag matches elsewhere. And it was like, you know what? Future Shock, we got some spots. It's easier to fill a spot with four people than two when you're trying to get a lot of students on. And they went out and shined. And, you know, everybody wants to blame, make up excuses. Joe don't like me, this, that, and the other thing. It's like, you go out there and you exceed expectations, you're going to get a better opportunity the next time out. And the more you keep having those exceeding expectations, you're going to be put in a situation to succeed. I want everybody to succeed. But if you're not good enough, you're not good enough yet. You know, and hopefully you will be. You know, I gave Demir two opportunities early in his career. He got to wrestle Funny Bone and Gregory Sharp. And he shit the bed in both opportunities. So he had to take a step back. No reason. It wasn't my dislike for somebody. It was, right. You know what? I seen you in practice. I seen people tell me that you're ready. But when the opportunity came, you were deer in headlights. And now you have to regroup before you get that opportunity again.
Right.
And then he bounced back and now he's solid. Same thing with Adrian Rain. Not everybody goes out and hits a double on their first time out.
Right.
But we know the potential's there. You know, my trainers are not putting the vouch on somebody being ready.
Right.
If they feel they're not ready.
Right. And you mentioned Jay. Jay is going to have his hands full with Bateman at the show. And that's a matchup that should be very entertaining. We've never really seen Bateman and Jay go one-on-one before. So this is a new matchup that's...
It's probably that the number one under-the-radar match.
Yeah,
it's two great wrestlers, characters,
right,
that just started kind of interacting together. So as we said, this is, you know, no escape, three cage matches, pretty much that's kind of solidifying the end of things.
Right.
The DLC match. I don't foresee to have, you know, another match after that. Right. You know, winner takes the belt and moves on in that situation. So the women's championship. You know, they've had a couple of matches. Alice Blair's already beat Gypsy Mac, you know, thanks to interference. Well, now the cage evens the score. You know, let the best woman win.
Right.
You know, makeshift and sky high. Yeah. This will be their first match. So it's crazy to see, because of everything that's built up, it's led to the steel cage match without them actually having a tag match. They've had a couple singles matches against each other.
Right. Yes.
You know, and then we got the main event, and the main event has no title on the line. Danny Limelight's FSW Heavyweight Championship isn't on the line, but if they score a significant victory over the faction, well, Danny Limelight might move on from Ice Williams. But if the faction comes up and they win that match, that really solidifies Ice as the number one contender.
Right. And he's what, currently the eighth ranked WWID guy, according to whatever that.
Which is crazy. He's the only one undefeated.
Yeah. Whatever that list was.
Marcus Mathers lost 2 out of 3 matches to Sam Holloway, who ain't even in the top 10.
Right. I have no idea.
Who made up these rankings, Gabe Sapolsky? Yeah. I want to know. I think it might have been some other company that they posted it.
Yeah, it was some random, because I think there were other rankings of
so I don't even think it was them. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So yeah,
it wasn't.
You know, no offense.
And by the way,
no offense to Marcus Mathers' brother, who made the rankings.
Oh
yeah, it was. It's Nick Mathers. He's the one who created the rankings. I think. It's in small print. You have to look really close with a magnifying glass.
I mean, like I said, it was posted by Tom Crawford, so, you know.
Yeah.
Take it as a grain of salt.
Yes. Because knowing Tom, he might have found that, and it was actually a rankings that was done a week after the ID program was announced. It was like Tom posted something about Matt Hardy with the Chris Bay thing, and it was November 1st, 3 days after the incident. Tom, we're almost into March. You're not giving anybody any new information.
His internet connection's slow.
Yeah. No, he was probably kicked off Facebook for the 3 months. That's why. So that was the first time he saw it. So it was new to him.
New to him.
Yes.
Well, you know, speaking of Tom, and here's a guy who gave a little beating to Tom, Duke Lawrence, who's getting that shot at that Nevada State Championship. Matt Vandegrift has rarely, I think, ever faced someone so large. And not only with facing Duke, having the presence of MK outside of the ring is always a distraction. And you
never know who else could be hiding in the weeds. MK's always, you know, recruiting. Duke Lawrence couldn't make it, and Sanders ended up popping up to wrestle under the MK Army banner. So, you know, I see Koa repost a lot of stuff. Is Koa? I haven't seen him in a month or so. But, you know, he's still part of the MK Army. And, you know, what better way to, you know, ingrate yourself into MK by helping out Duke, who's also a 400-pound guy who probably doesn't really need help. So, you know, Matt's going to use that quickness, the speed, the high flying. You know, he's got to come from a lot of different angles, because if Duke catches him, you know, I'm not sure many people would have had Duke Lawrence versus Matt Vandegrift in the Nevada State Championship on their bingo card.
No, I really wish MK, because he has the ability to do this, would put up the old $1,000 if Matt can slam Duke Lawrence. You know, the old body slam match. Come on. I want to see that.
You know, or they could do the 5 count, the King Kong Bundy 5 count.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be something else to see the innovation that Matt comes up with to work someone Duke's size the way that Matt thinks. And it, I think that is the most fascinating thing about this match, is that Matt's creativity is something that's next level. And I really, this is something I'm looking forward to seeing what he ends up doing. You know, as far as, again, you know, like you said, you got the three cage matches after the intermission, obviously. But the lead up, you couldn't ask for a more solid number of matches going into that intermission. I think this is, you know, some of the best, you know, lead ups for No Escape that you've had in a long time.
Well, obviously match 5, 6, and 7, because it'll be a 7-match card. Match 5 will be the tag team championship match. It'll be the first cage match. The women's match will be the semi-main. And the War Games style match will be the main event. Because of all the plunder, the match before the steel cage will be the DLC match. So right. That's match 4. The scramble will be match 1.
Right.
So I'm leaning toward Jay Vidal and Bateman as match 2 in the Nevada State Championship, being that it is a title match, match 3. So match 3 will be a title match. Match 4 will be a title match. Match 5 and 6 will be a title match. So 4 titles on the line. And, you know, I got to believe that something's going to be shaken up. I predict, you know, we will have at least one new champion this Sunday.
So the briefcase getting cashed in then on Danny Limelight after the cage match. I gotcha.
That's possible too.
Gotcha. That's
more than possible.
Greg kicks off the show and then he finishes it by winning. That
could happen. You know, the problem with that is inside a cage, you know, there's 4-on-4. So it'll be interesting to see. Let's just say, for example, Danny Limelight's team wins. If they win, they're standing tall. Gregory Sharp's got to get through 3 people to get to Limelight.
Right. It's
difficult. If they lose, let's just say they lose because Danny Limelight quits. Well, that's a great opportunity, but there's still the 3 other guys that are going to be around. So unless 4 people are taken out, I'll tell you what. You know, I know Gregory Sharp is a guy who doesn't care how many people are standing in front of him, but there's probably better time frames to do it. But again, you never write it off.
I'm just saying, you know, what better time for bad guy Tito to come to the aid of his New Japan brethren there by, you know, taking out Danny Limelight there and the other guys. And I'm just saying there's a lot of possibilities here, Joe.
So we have 4 championship matches. And what you're saying is we could have 5 title changes.
Right. Exactly. Which I don't think is ever happened.
Well, how do you know Gregory Sharp doesn't go and try to cash in after a DLC match?
Yeah, sure.
2 guys who are going to be killing each other.
Right.
Let's just say Matt Vandergriff squeaks out the victory. But then MK goes to get involved. And then Matt, when he grabs him, Duke destroys Matt Vandergriff. Then Gregory Sharp comes in and regains his Nevada State Championship.
And then hands it over to MK and is part of the MK Army?
And then he becomes part of the MK Army. There are so many scenarios. Maybe Bodhi gets in Greg Sharp's face and tells him to put the case on the line in the scramble match. 17-year-old Bodhi tells Gregory Sharp, why don't you have a set of balls, Then JKM wins the case. And he turns on Dante King.
Who Dante has won the championship from Damian Drake. There
you
Drake.
Go. That could happen too. You know, there used to be a saying. It was called DTA. Don't trust anybody.
Right. And then JMK has to now defend his first defense is against.
We might have return. RFK, not JFK.
Oh my God. JKM defends his newly crowned championship against the returning hyper streak.
There you go. So, no escape. There's going to be so much going on. See? And that's just things that go on in my head because we're talking about the show at the podcast. Imagine when I was trying to put this show together. Yeah. The things I had to weed out and throw out and, you know, put them in the, what is it? Is it the recycle bin? When you throw stuff in the computer? Recycle bin, right?
Yeah, the recycle bin, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I had to empty a lot from the recycle bin.
Oh, man. Well, that's what's going on here on Sunday, the 2nd at Silverton, 5 p.m. start time. What time doors for?
4 p.m. doors. We are going to make sure that we give an opportunity to the younger guys. So I can't tell you who's going to be in the pre-show match. Mainly because if any of the younger guys don't show up to help set up, they got no fucking prayer of being in the pre-show match.
Right.
I'm sorry, the kickoff match.
The kickoff match, exactly.
So, yeah, we definitely want to get some of the younger talent on.
And if, you know, get your tickets, you can go through Joe. You
save can also the fees.
Yep.
You know, on a front row ticket, the fees are about $9. On the GA tickets, you're going to pay an extra $8. So, you know, hit me up and we'll take care of you.
And then, of course, this is going to be coming up on the benefit.
What's that? I'm losing you.
We got the Mecca, the benefit for Bay coming up, Mecca yes. 10. There's the information to contact Joe for tickets or sponsorship opportunities. The front row is sold out. Second row is $45. GA is $35. What's the other packages with that in terms of?
There's a VIP second row package for $70. It includes the meet and greet and an 11x17 event poster that if you're in that meet and greet, we told the other wrestlers that will be on the poster, which is pretty much every name wrestler there, right, to sign it for them. Or hopefully we'll have some already signed. That way it saves some time a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're also working on possibly some personalized meet and greets with the photo opportunities with Cross and Strickland, and you know, we also got another announcement that we haven't announced yet on the social medias, but Leo Rush will also has been added to the show.
Nice. Yeah.
So
there's a blast from the past.
Many times we tried to get the Leo Rush Chris Bay match on a couple of different occasions, and it got canceled. And the fuckers at GCW ended up getting it.
Right. Go figure. You know. And in return, did Brett send you a picture of Las Vegas and ask you what year it was?
Yes, he probably did. He hit me up last week. Yo! And I said, hey, what's up? That was 10 days ago. I haven't heard a thing.
He's, which one's easier to communicate with, Brett or Booker?
Booker. he was actually at NXT when I called him, and he actually answered the phone on like the second ring.
I was laughing my ass off last week's episode of LFG. They're doing the introduction of the one of the wrestlers coming to the ring, and they show the coaches there, and Booker's the one. He's on his phone doing it's just like, yeah, that's,
you know, he had to renegotiate Danny Limelight's reality of wrestling contract, probably.
That's Booker. Oh man. So far, I mean, it's a who's who. Again, it's on the 23rd at Silverton. Any word on what you're thinking about in terms of will it be broadcast on Triller?
Oh no, it is. We got the okay. I was a little concerned. Cross's match is allowed to be aired on Triller, so.
Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, we're hoping to break the record. We had over 2,500 people watched FSW versus GCW 2. So we are hoping to shatter that record.
Yeah.
You know, if we did less than 5,000 people, I would be surprised. Yeah. Not all live that day, obviously.
Right.
But, yeah. You know, again, it is the only show in the world that will have a WWE, a TNA, a AEW, if you want to count Ring of Honor, and people are using that as the forbidden door. And I'm like, no, we got AAA with Sam Adonis and New Japan Strong and New Japan with Alex Zane and New Japan Strong with Matt Vandegrift. So, and that's not all. You know, we're going to have this battle royal that NGCW, Brooke Havoc will be there. She's a GCW regular.
Right.
So we are 3+ weeks away.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's some rumors, you know, certain people, you know, big stars that, you know, have made inklings about it, trying to see scheduling and if it's going to work for them. You know, last week we added Frankie Kazarian.
Right.
Talked to your boy Red Cup. He messaged me yesterday also. You know, he's trying to get that Mo Jabari guy on, who I guess has got a good following. I was not aware who he was.
He's the he's the Jericho Cruz, was it Pacific Ocean champion or whatever it is? He's the
champion, you know. I'm pretty sure that guy's going to hold that championship for at least a year. That's how much confidence I have in Mo Jabari continuing the reign.
I don't think he's going to defend it one time in a year, though, and that makes me mad.
You know,
although if he's smart, he just goes out to random cruises and just
there you go,
pin someone.
You know, you can go on the '80s cruise where like Fozzie's playing or something. But yeah, so now there's going to be opportunities for people being in the battle royal.
Yeah. Yeah, which is amazing. You know, again, just
don't give a belt to PCO if he's going to be there.
I'm trying.
I'll tell you what, if he can bring the belt to our show, if he wants to break it there, I don't give a fuck. I won't cut him off.
I'll let him know whatever you want to destroy.
Yeah.
The camera won't cut. We'll see.
We're trying to make things happen. You know, you know, reuniting tag teams that have worked for different companies that you know, all of a sudden them being on the show becomes a possibility.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Rich Swann has a couple of tag team partners who have both had conversations about possibly being there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Good stuff.
Right, that would definitely be something. Obviously, now we have both Rascals in Trey Miguel and Zachary Wentz. So I don't know if I mentioned Wentz is also confirmed now.
Right. We got a question. Belt versus belt, like Hog versus FSW. Dream matches is going to be a fire show. I don't know if there's going to be any, there's not any plans for any title defense, is there? As of right now?
As of right now, no. But that's, again, you know, Kenny hit me up. You know, he's pitching for, you know, his a certain match. He's like, oh, it seems like you're faving me. And it's like, dude, I've got a million things I'm doing. I have no idea what we're looking for in the matches right now. Like, you know, that's cool that you want a certain match. Other people want a certain match. I got to make sure AEW is okay with certain matches.
Right.
I got to make sure WWE has to give final approval on Kevin's or Karrion. We have to call him Karrion according to that's why it took so long. The wordage of everything in the contract. I finally got it back where I had to sign, and then they were like, oh, we're going to send it back. Nick Khan needs to now sign it. And then 2 days later, I haven't gotten the email back. And I'm like, hey, bro, I signed it. Are we good? Can I make the announcement? And then we did. And then as you saw, I'm like, oh, shit, we got like 35,000 views in 40 minutes. I woke up today and the numbers are still climbing. We had over 250,000 views, 250,000 views on Cross. And then Shakur is doing the Instagram. He was like, holy shit, when Kevin collaborated, I guess it went through the roof. Of course it did. And now, whether we air it beforehand, but Kevin is going to have an announcement that he is going to make that we will be playing at No Escape. So, and we're hoping we're going to get some other people to help promote the show over the next, you know, period of time. So, yeah, there's no doubt this is the biggest independent wrestling show. I know we're only in March, but this will be the biggest independent wrestling show of 2025 just because of the effect that this show is having on everybody participating. Like, this show has the wrestling community so united in its respect for Chris and its respect for Cross for going, and the respect for WWE's, you know, major players allowing this to be had, the other companies being cool with being all on the show, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find out certain ways that we can, you know, bump up the to do donations through Triller, have the wrestlers announce it, almost like the Jerry Lewis telethon. Like, hey, you know, you could send. But yeah, I kind of ran into a brick road, brick wall, because I called my bank and it's like, because I know Zelle works weird. So I can't have a personal Zelle account and I can't have an FSW Zelle account. So I have one account, which is through FSW, because 90% of the business I do through Zelle is for FSW. But there are certain things that I have to do that need to be done through Zelle that I have to do through my bank account. But I have to do it through the FSW thing. So I was trying to see about opening a, you know, benefit for Bay Zelle. So it doesn't have to go through my bank. I don't want anybody to question any fucking thing. That way it goes directly into that. So now I got to figure out how that works, because of my social security number, because of my bank account, you're only allowed one Zelle per family. Like even my wife asked, people at work want to Zelle her as a bartender. Hey, can I Zelle you? Hey, can I Venmo you? And it's like, yeah, but then it comes up as FSW. So now we got to sort through that. People don't want to tip FSW LLC. They want to tip the person. You know what I mean? So that's one thing I think Zelle could work on, you know, for, you know, might help them get more accounts. Because, again, I don't know, how does Zelle make money? Because they don't charge fees. So it's a great service. You know, I could see if it was part of my Nevada State Bank, but it's part of everybody's bank. So how do they make money out of it other than selling all our information to, you know, what is it called? The on the internet where it's the dark sites,
the dark web.
Other than making billions selling it to the dark web, it's like, I really don't see how there's money being made by letting me do Zelle, which I love. And they'll crack down on it sooner or later because, you know, they just started with the Venmo and the Cash App. So where now if you do certain amounts of money, they don't care what it's for, which is why nobody does PayPal anymore.
Right.
Which I've had those disasters with PayPal. Oh, PayPal, please no. I do not want to give them a dollar.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. So, you know, over the next couple of weeks, you know, Fox 5 is supposed to do a story. I just got hit up by somebody who does the web work for KLUC in town, 98.5. You know, I messaged Chet Buchanan, messaged Las Vegas Weekly, had a couple people reach out. Not as many as I would have thought, considering some of the bullshit stories and things that they actually air.
Yeah.
You would think this would be something close to home, local guy, nice benefit for them. That they would want to help promote it.
Right.
But, you know.
Yeah.
But again, that wrestling stigma, unfortunately, sometimes rears its ugly head.
Right. Well, as we get ready to wrap up for this week, any final thoughts going into No Escape?
No, man. You know, it's a great show. It's the first casino show since November. So December, January, February. It's been 4 months. It's going to be a huge show. You know, we got some of the, you know, we have all FSW's finest pretty much on the show. You know, who doesn't like a cage match? We got three. Yeah. And, you know, who doesn't like a TLC or a DLC?
Right.
You know, who doesn't like the Dollar Loan Center? You know what I mean? It's like, so much is going on. You're going to get to see some great talent. So, you know, I know everybody's out there supporting the Chris Bay show. If money's tight and you know me, hit me up. You know, we'll figure out a payment plan, you know, whatever it is. You know, if you can't get me the money because there's, you know, I heard people, hey, WrestleMania. Hey, I've always worked deals where, hey, get me a little this week, get me a little in a couple of weeks. Same thing with the students when they're kind of low on dues. It's like, instead of just not paying me, you know, you can pay part of the dues. That way, instead of me having to stop you after being a month behind, but if you give me kind of a third and then maybe a few more weeks later, another third or a half, 3 months later, you're still only 1 month behind, even though you hadn't made a full payment. So, you know, and a lot of times people have money set aside and who spent on, as we said, the WrestleMania and everybody knows, you know, there's no holding tickets for the Chris Bay show. So everybody spent the money for that. And then it's backtracking to the second. And hey, you know, it's the end of the month. Money's tight. Right, we're into the thing. We got to get the tickets. So, you know. Joe always works with you. You know, you're a fan and you want to be at the show. You know, let's make it happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be a solid show and a don't miss. So definitely try to check it out and get in touch with Joe again.
Two can't miss shows in 3 weeks.
Well, there you go. until next week, when we'll be talking about the results of No Escape and a little bit more about the Benefit show. Everyone, take care of yourselves, and thank you again for tuning in. And we will talk to you guys next time. Let's get